on my lips. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start the sermon this morning with a confession, and I don't mean this lightly. One of the great challenges of a pastorate such as this church is working to do the Lord's work and not getting out of the Lord's will. This is a perpetual challenge. And one of the ways in which this happens is with the growth of this congregation. Now, many of you know that a little more than 18 months ago, there were 11 people here. That was all that was left when a major portion of the congregation left and started an independent church. Those 11 people called me to be pastor of this church. And my heart, since seminary, has always been toward evangelism, toward reaching those who have not heard the gospel, who have heard it and fallen away, from those who do not have a rich experience of worship with the Lord. One of the ways that we have done evangelism in this church is through what we call Visitor Sunday. And this is something we do four times a year or thereabouts. And we intentionally go out and invite our friends and neighbors, our relatives, to come and worship with us in church, particularly those who do not have church homes or who may be in church homes where they find themselves not fed or unhappy. And our neighbors who don't go to church at all and who might like to experience what life in a body of Christ where the people really love each other can be like. We also do a mass mailing. And previously we've done Winfield, West Chicago, and Warrenville as a group, and we just added Wayne, not very big, a little bitty city with also starts with a W, to the mailing that we've done. Inviting people here next Sunday, the 10th, for Visitor Sunday. And I would actually like to share those mailers with you, but I didn't print enough. So we've used all of them to go into the mail. I'll probably make some more so that we have them to pass around, but you'll just have to invite your neighbors on your own without having a flyer to do it with. Now, the confession is this. This church has really grown remarkably in the last 18 months. It is the easiest thing in the world for someone coming into this position who sees his own calling as that of evangelist and who has experience in marketing to look at the growth of this congregation and take credit for it. Right? It's the marketing that I've done, or the preaching that I do, or the worship that I lead. You know, this is not a hard sin to fall into. And the challenge for me, and it's a sin which I confess to falling into over and over again, and calling up out of, apologizing to the Lord, and then falling into again. Not a hard sin to fall into. And particularly a foolish one, given the extraordinary assistance of other people in this congregation, particularly Dolores, who keeps me in check spiritually when I wander from the Holy Spirit, my wife who keeps me honest and really rebukes me when I begin to do something silly. So she has lots of opportunity to do that, by the way. And all of the folks in this congregation who have loved each other so much. It's so much, it just astonishes me sometimes. A couple of weeks ago, right after the prayers of the people, one of the women in the congregation turned to her mother, who was visiting that day for the first time, right as the prayers finished. And those of you who have been here for the prayers of the people know that they can be very intense, grace-filled, convicting events. And right after those prayers, she turned to her mother and she said, "Didn't I say this was a terrific church?" And her mother agreed. So it's a, there is so much in the people in this church which has made it so special, which has made people want to stay. And above and beyond all of this has just been the presence of the Lord with us. I mean, this is a work of God that has gone on here in this congregation. It is a work of God. When I look at the people who have been called here from the remotest spots in the most unlikely ways and yet have shown up and said, I'm home, this is nothing that George Koch could ever do in his wildest dreams. And just the simple awareness of that rebukes me enough to know that this isn't anything that I do. I'm aware also that there are gifts which God has blessed me with, which he really expects me to use here. Right? That's his call on me. He's given me the gifts, and he said, use these gifts here. That's what I called you to do. And I do that. But what I should be doing all the time is blessing him for those gifts. I didn't create them. He created them in me and for me. And so I confess to sins of pride in looking at this wonderful congregation and seeing it as anything other than a work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit which Jesus sent to us. The other thing that I confess to is fear when we have a visitor Sunday. And my wife, bless her heart, has rebuked me about this quite recently, actually. Because when we have a visitor Sunday, if you remember the last one we had, March 20th, this church was so full we barely could get into the place. At the 10 o'clock service, there were something like 165 people in here. Well, we hold about 120. So 165 packed in here is very tight. Plus, we've removed six pews since that March 20th event. So come next Sunday, it's going to be quite a tussle, I think, to get everybody in. Now, my fear is, one, nobody will come. They'll all get the mailers that we sent out, and they'll look at it and go, not this weekend, maybe another time. And so we'll get, two or three people will come, and basically that'll be... Now, I know this has happened to other congregations. There are some folks down, I won't tell you where, but they knew what had happened here, and so they called me down to be a consultant, right? Great opportunity for pride, I should point out. They called me to be a consultant, so I came down and I said, well, here's what you need to do, and this is what you need to do, and this is what you need to do. Now, they didn't follow all of the advice, but they followed some of it. They mailed out, I think, 2,000 flyers, right? Maybe it was even 4,000 flyers that they mailed out, and nobody came. Now, one person came to their church service. Now, the two things they had done that we do a little differently was on their flyers, they simply put a little picture of their church and the name of their church and said, please come to our visitor Sunday, and that was all they did. The other thing is they don't preach the gospel in these churches. And in fact, I talked to them about that in this meeting, and I said, it's extraordinarily important if you want your work to be blessed by God and to be anointed and for people to be driven there by the Lord, that you preach the gospel in your church, that you distinguish right from wrong and you preach them clearly. And the reaction of the pastor, and I'm glad I didn't identify him, was to say, I had a Baptist friend who told me that once too. And that was it. That was the end of his explanation. He runs a wonderful social ministry out of this church, but they don't preach the gospel. They're completely involved in what would be called the social gospel and not in amendment of life, in going out and providing things for people who need them, but not in amendment of life, in reaching out to those they see as the poor and disadvantaged, but not in sanctification of their self, of themselves, and their own persons. So one fear that I have is that these flyers will go out and nobody will show up. And the other fear I have is that the flyers will go out and more people will come here than we can fit in or teach or love or school and Sunday school. That we will just be beyond our resources and they will leave saying, who do those people think they are? They invite us, and then they have nothing to feed us with. That's my other fear. I fear that we won't have leaders raised up in this congregation, people who will say, you know, I may not think I'm much, but God got me here, so if you want me, you can have me, and I'll give you whatever I've got, like the widow with her two mites. I'll tell you, there are people in this congregation who God has gifted enormously, who may not acknowledge it to themselves or to others, but who God has gifted, who God would raise up and have you teach. Teach Sunday school, work with the youth group, give a testimony in church during a service, work in the service itself in one way or another, teach Bible. There is enormous gifting here. And as new people come, they need leaders. They need people willing to do more than come and be fed. They need people willing to feed. Right? This is something all of us have got to do. Now you look here on Sunday morning when we have the prayers of the people and all of us gather here in the center of the church around the cross and we pray for one another. Then you look at the way we greet each other during the passing of the peace. And it's obvious the people here really love each other. They pray for each other. They hug each other. They run errands for each other. The people in this congregation really love each other. Now, we could stay here, never grow by another person, and just continue loving each other as we have. But, folks, we'd be stuck. This is not what we're called to do. The Lord has called us over and over and over again to share His good news with those who haven't heard it. That's the call on us. So as comfortable as it may be, as comfortable as it may be for any of us, including me, with the people that are here that we have known and know, whose names we've gotten to know, you know, this is the greatest fear for me. I never could remember names until God gave me this parish. And when He gave me this parish, He gave me the gift of remembering names. It's not perfect, but it's really good. And it's so much better than it ever was in my life. And He just said, these are your folks, you damn well better remember their names. It was pretty much that clear a word for me. So I said, all right, Lord, I get it. I understand. Well, another of my great fears is what happens if next Sunday 100 new people come here and they stay? How will I learn 100 new names? How will I learn 100 new names? Right? Are you going to rebuke me now, Phil? I can hear it coming. But this is a fear I've got to put aside. This is why my wife straightens me out. When I get frightened about something like this, before the last visitor Sunday, my stomach was in knots. Right? And Vicki said, what are you worrying about? Do you think you're in charge? And I'm not. So, but I need to put the same challenge on everyone here. The challenge which I almost single-handedly put on myself. I'm not asking you to stew about this as I've stewed. I mean, you can, but it's not worth it. But I am saying that there is a real challenge here which we each must face. There will be new people here next week. I know there will be. What are we going to do when they get here? Are we going to love them? Are we going to invite them to stay and tell them this is a place where they will get fed? Not just by the pastor up here, but by all of the folks in this congregation where they get loved and fed and where they can come lame and blind, crippled and hungry and poor and find themselves at home. After a long journey in the wilderness, coming home like the father of the prodigal son with his arms outstretched, is that what we will be like? Boy, we'd better be. We'd better be. That's what we're called. If we're to be evangelists, and if we are to be healers, then we'd better have those arms out. We'd better have a big grin on our face, not forced, not invented, not there because we think it's what we should be doing, but boy, just because the hope and the joy bubble up inside of us and out of us and we can't do anything else. That's what we're called to do. So next Sunday, we will have new people here. There will be people here who have never met the Lord. Never. There will be people here who went to church and Sunday school as kids and just hated it. Were in oppressive places where they were beaten up every Sunday. Or they were just ignored. And they've been away forever. And they'll come back just to try once to see if maybe they should be back. They'll just try once. One time. We better be ready for that one time they're here to love them. We better be here to love them. And we'd be better be ready to love them. Everybody get it? Everybody get it? Everybody get it? Everybody get it? Do you get it? Everybody get it? Anybody not get it? Okay. A lot of extra chairs. Last, Lena, I will have a lot of extra chairs. Lena, would you stand up and pray for us that we might take these people in next week?
I will tell you something that I'm here doing.
This is a woman. Come here. Slides to the edge of his throne in heaven and leans forward and says, "Yes, Lena." So, Lena, would you pray for us? And tell us what you want to say first, and then pray for us.
I have been praying that I live long enough to see this church full. And I really mean that. But every night when I go to bed, I pray for the congregation every single night. To increase and stay here and feel at home. Because this is one thing you can do here that you can't do in many of the others. I have been there. I know. I felt welcome, but there was something missing. And no matter what church I went to with my friends, I went to all their churches. And did not feel that this is the place for me. But I was raised in an Episcopal cathedral, a lot different from this. The pomp, the circumstance, the ceremony was all there, the incense, everything. You do not do this and that in church, you know, don't laugh out loud, don't clap. The priest is very serious, but a good priest, very, very good. And then one day, now I'm looking, for years I'm looking and missing something. So then one day I saw in the newspaper a picture of a young priest. I said, "Oh my God, this is what I'm looking for." I never met him, never talked to him, nothing. But he reminded me instantly of my own priest that I grew up with. It could be relative. He could be his father. They were so alike. It took me, though, to get the courage to call him and talk to him at least 2 months. And then I finally did, and I feel like I am at home. But every night I pray the congregation should be bigger. And in the Lord's Prayer it says, "The kingdom and the power and the glory." So I remind him, you have the power to do this. And sometimes I talk rough to him, don't I?
Yeah, I know you do. But he listens.
And he listens.
Would you pray for us now?
Our Father in heaven, make this congregation a little better. I don't know how that can be. They're wonderful. Teach them to love, which they do now, but you teach them to love thyself as they would love their neighbor. We are all neighbors. We are all one family. Let's not hurt each other. And at the lesson not too long ago, it says, bear the burden of thy friends, and you know your friends even better. But know that we all love you. We all love you. We all love Jesus. And through Jesus, everything that we want for this church can happen. That's my prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Lena. If we love Jesus, folks, if we love Jesus, if we love Jesus, this will be a place where people will come and find the love of Christ in our hearts and will feel that love and share it. This is a place where people will come with great burdens and great pain and be healed, because the Lord is present among us. Amen.